And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Right now he backs off though. Brunson trying to get free into the hands of Brunson. Brunson's got Bassell on him. Crossover, drives, goes inside, pulls back. Picks it out in the corner. Brunson gets it back. Brunson on the drive. The floater's up. Shot won't go. Rebound deflected in the backcourt. Fox has a chance to get it. Fox has it inside. Blocked by Ananobi. 9 seconds remaining. 6 seconds remaining. And Mike Brown, or they call a foul. They had a foul to give. Nobody guarding the inbound pass.
They might just go flat for Jalen Brunson. Allow him to operate at the top. 1-on-1.
Brunson gets it. Fires up a three. Shot no good. The tip, it's gone! It's gone! It's gone! With 1.2 remaining. Knicks take the lead. OG Ananobi, and it's 107-106.
From the heart of Queens to ears of sports fans everywhere, we are the Sports Kings from Queens. Happy Wednesday night, everyone. This is episode 238. I'm Gino, joined by Kevin and Darren. Guys, this is a hell of a night to jump on to do a little podcast here. Knicks have pulled off one of the greatest comebacks in NBA Finals history. The largest comeback, 29 points. OG Ananobi tipped in Jalen Brunson's mystery pointer with 1.2 seconds left to give the Knicks the victory in a 3-1 series lead. Kev, why don't you tell us a little bit about this game?
Freaking believable. I mean, I use stronger language. I'm trying to keep it clean for the podcast. My God, that was incredible. 29 in the second half, the second quarter, 27 at halftime. The largest halftime comeback in playoff history. Not just finals, in playoff history. And I thought they were dead. I mean, the Spurs, the first half, they could not miss. They were hitting, especially the first quarter. They hit everything they put up from three. Knicks played awful. And somehow, despite being down 27, they won the third quarter. The defense starting to tighten up a little bit in the fourth quarter. Wow. They just made play after play. The defense stayed unbelievable. And OG and Brunson especially got hot. And some other contributions, we'll get into that. But initial reaction, Dan, what about your initial reaction?
Listen, it's the NBA, so you always think there's a chance. And, you know, sitting there saying, oh, trying to get it under this point level by this point in the game. You know, you're saying to yourself, get it to 15 at the half. Then all of a sudden they go on another run. And before you know it, you're down 26, 27, 27 at the half. But you're thinking that we could get it down to like 18 and feel good, and they couldn't do it. Missing, you know, a lot of guys did not contribute tonight, and a couple of guys really, really did. But the third quarter, and they missed so many opportunities to get this game closer, so many inside shots, so many layups, or things that were uncontested, Kev.
Only
and
nine
for 20. They had a chance to get this under 10 by the end of the third.
Only 9 for 21. As good as the defense they play, as bad as the Spurs are shooting, the Knicks only shot 9 for 21 in the third quarter. It's not like they had this big 40-point outburst.
No, they did not.
They cut into it, got it down under 20, and then the fourth quarter hits, Darren.
Well, here's the thing. Spurs 30 points in the second half.
Yeah.
They had 41 in the first quarter, 35 in the second quarter, 30 in the second half. So the defense did what it had to do. The fourth quarter comes around, and suddenly Brunson hits a big three, and then Brunson hits a runner, and it becomes the Brunson show for a little bit. And then Ananobi becomes a guy that kind of chips in here and there. And all of a sudden, you start seeing a lot of different combinations. They pull Bridges, who becomes ineffective. They go with Alvarado down the stretch, and I thought that was a key move in the fact that Alvarado is very hard to contain with the ball. Gino, what were you thinking at this point?
Listen, I couldn't believe so from what I saw in the very beginning, again, San Antonio in the first quarter just comes out, and then Kev, we've said this every first quarter.
Yeah.
They come out and they are guns a blazing, and they shoot lights
they
out.
Hit everything.
They hit everything. They are lights out. And then I feel like as the game goes along, other than game three, as the game goes along, it starts weaning a little bit, and they start getting a little bit worse and a little bit worse. And then come the fourth quarter, they are missing those outside shots again. But Darren, you mentioned it, you know, those big leads, the three-pointer is the equalizer now. You can eliminate that 15-point lead now. Now, can you eliminate a 29-point lead? I don't know. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is kind of crazy. I will tell you.
The Knicks got hot in the second half of the three, but for the game, it was 15 for 32. They didn't take 63s to come back. Yeah. They used the three as part of their offense. I mean, they were still driving. They were still getting the twos as they needed to. The threes were there as they worked the ball around and got open threes. They weren't chucking up threes out of desperation, which was such a huge key. I mean, the Spurs, 43 threes. And I know they had a huge lead at halftime, but they kept chucking up threes. Like, we were so hot in the first half. Let's kind of keep it up.
And that's what you want. And that's what you want if you're the Knicks. You want to have them keep taking those shots because their percentages will even out most of the time. Take away Knicks game six against the Hawks. Sorry,
Darren. They said the NBA record, 14 threes in the first half. Most in the half in the finals game. They hit three in the second half.
Yeah. And now I complimented Brown on something he did with going with Alvarado, which I thought was a really good move because, let's be honest, McBride's the 0 for 4 tonight. Shamet hasn't been hitting. Bridges wasn't doing much. I'm going to go the other way, though, and talk about the Spurs for a quick second. I did not understand how they pulled Dylan Harper down the stretch. I just did not get it. They went with Fox. They went with Castle. They had Champagne in there, part of it, and Vassell. And they did not go with Dylan Harper, who I think is, as an on-the-ball defender, might be the best of the four. They're all good. Don't get me wrong, Fox being the weakest. But he's probably the best one. And he was a guy that was a matchup nightmare. And I thought that Mitch Johnson gave the Knicks a favor by not having Harper in down the stretch and actually allowing Fox to be the primary guy down the stretch. I thought it was a little bit strange in my opinion, or even Castle, who hadn't done much. Gee.
So I don't think I saw enough of the game on TV. What was going on with Bridges tonight? Was it just another off game?
That didn't hit. 3 for 9. Okay. I mean, it wasn't foul trouble like game three where he didn't get into a rhythm. This one, he just, you know, Bridges has the games where he disappears.
Yeah, no.
One of those games where he disappeared.
Because I'm looking at the box score and he's got zero personal fouls.
Yeah.
He's 3 for 9. He's got 2 rebounds, 2 assists. He played 28 minutes, so he was out there for a good chunk of time. But yet he's only got 7 points. He's only got 3 for 9 shooting. Okay, I mean,
Thing was, he shot an air ball in the lane. I know he's going over Wembanyama, but it was an air ball from 14, and he just looked uncomfortable. It wasn't like he took a three late that just kind of like wasn't even, you knew it wasn't on target when he released it. The other guy that almost became the GOAT was Hart. Yeah. Hart gets the steal, breakaway, doesn't know if he's going to dunk it or lay it in. So he just bobbles it and loses it. And then when the Spurs take the lead, he misses the box out on Castle. He is just standing there floating up. He's got to get a body on Castle. So he had a couple of moments, but then he's the guy that stops the play at the end of the game against Castle. Not that there was a little deflection by Cat, I believe, on the inbounds. But, you know, he becomes the hero, but Hart had a chance of becoming a real GOAT there for a minute, guys. And it worked out because how do you describe OG Anunoby tonight, Kev? I mean, what can you say about how many superlatives can you throw in one sentence, Kevin?
Best player of the court tonight? Yeah. I mean, I know Brunson outscored him. OG was the difference in the game. OG was so huge. 7 for 9 from three. Couple of rebounds, didn't get into foul trouble at all, and just seemed to make big shot after big shot. You know, defensively, he can do the job defensively. He's incredible. He's like I said, he was the best player on the court tonight.
Yeah, Alvarado had the big three down the stretch as well, but OG's tip in at the end, he was beyond the three-point line when the shot was released. He flew right through that paint. Nobody checked him. And 7-foot-1 wingspan, Gino, he got it in.
I mean, when Brunson and Anunoby are going to give you basically 65% of the scoring of your total score, and you know you're going to come up with a win. There's a reason why, you know, nobody else, you know, Towns had 13, but nobody else is in double digits. I get it. It's okay. I get it. At the same time, you know, Bridges is only 3 for 9, you know, Hart, you know, from what I'm looking at, was only 2 for 4. Alvarado was 3 for 4, you know,
Towns was only 4 for 5, 5 shots. Yeah. For the guy that's supposed to be your second leading scorer, that's
have 10 rebounds. Did have 10 rebounds, so that's, you know,
that's getting 2,000 first minute and a half.
He played 25 minutes. He played less than every other starter by a decent amount. And they're trying to get Shamet going, but he's not hitting right now. They're going to have to figure out a way to get Bridges and Shamet back. Maybe the road will be good for both of them. Maybe they're pressing a little bit much at home, but unbelievable.
I mean, to me, with Towns, you know, you had the Spurs drove, Towns picked up the foul, and you go, oh, they're going to call it tight. Yeah, that's a foul. And then they let a hell of a rest go. And then a minute later, he's tied up with Wemby, away from the basket, gets the ball, drives in, scores, think it's an end one. Spurs challenge a minute and a half into the game, and they call cat for the hook. Now, did he hook? Yeah. But the arm came up right away, and the rest of the drive was nothing to do with the hook. And Wemby's arm is through there anyway. I mean, it was just such a weak overturn. I don't see how you could overturn that call. And that was huge because that set up just with how the Knicks fans felt coming into the Garden with the way the first three games were called. You see that. Then you see almost – back-to-back, Cornette, obvious goaltending defensively, not called. Down the other end, Wemby puts one in on a follow that was a clear offensive goaltending, not called. And all of a sudden, you know, the Garden in the first half, I know, Darren, you missed the first quarter. The Garden was getting ugly. And
I heard some boos.
TV. Yeah.
If I paid $6,500 for a ticket to sit midway or up top, I'd be upset too.
Yeah. And again, you could say a combination of the Spurs shot the lights out in the first half, Knicks played poorly in the first half, and the referees had a tough first half without blaming the referees for being down 29. The Knicks fully owned being down 29, but all three things can happen and not be whining that the referee screwed them in the first half. And the Knicks somehow got it together, and it felt like, you know, they made the little runs in the second half. They got to 15 how many times, and then it felt like the Spurs kept going up to 19, and they get to 15 and back to 19. And once they broke through that 15, it was big, and a lot of the momentum seemed to turn when Wemby was called for that flagrant one elbow on Cat.
Which was pretty blatant.
Yeah. That seemed to really energize everybody, saying, oh, Wemby can be called for a flagrant one.
And it was a five-point possession.
Yeah, I think that changed a lot of the atmosphere, a lot of the feeling as the Knicks were starting to come back and you get a positive foul or a positive call from the referees. All of a sudden, everything started to snowball. And here's where the Spurs youth really – I mean, even though Fox was the one that – made the mistake down the stretch here. He should have pulled that ball out with 10 seconds left.
Yep.
But, you know, the rest of the team is so young. I think the inexperience showed a little bit there. They looked like they were deer in headlights at points.
Well, listen, it was 10-3 in turnovers at one point. It finished 13-11. So, yeah. I mean, down the stretch, the Spurs were the team that was coughing the ball up a little bit more. They still outscored the Knicks points off turnovers 24-11. They execute better off the turnovers than the Knicks have. Yeah. And the funny thing about the Knicks, I mean, just watching them, even down, they go deep into the shot clock almost every possession because by the time they get the high screen for Jalen and then he comes around off the double team and then he's dribbling for 38 seconds and Gino's having a heart attack and then all of a sudden think he's going to pass it. Then he gives it back up. Then he gets it right back and it's 2 seconds left. And it's almost like every possession they came from behind. A, you're right, Gino, the three-pointer is an equalizer. But B, they did it with a lot of clutch shots late in the shot clock,
yeah,
which was the key. And they missed a ton of them. And that was the part that was that was brutal, because you felt like they missed 8 foul shots tonight. A lot of them early, where they had a chance to get themselves back in. Four of them are Mitch, but yeah. Jalen missed, and you know, I mean, there are guys that Jalen missed 2 of them. He can't have that. Castle didn't miss any. You know, that's the difference. And yet, miraculously, by hook or by crook, OG Anunoby tips in the game winner with 1.2 seconds left. You're still petrified with 1.2 seconds because they have a guy that's 7'6". And you say, if they can find a way to roll him to the basket off a triple screen, he doesn't even have to jump. It's like UConn Cornelius with the abominable snowman. He just puts the star on top of the tree. But they didn't go that way. They went with Castle, and the Knicks held on. And greatest comeback in NBA history, boys.
You know what gets me, too, is, you know, when you look, Towns 26, Robinson 13, because of foul trouble, even Haporti got in there for 3 or 4 minutes. But when you keep running bodies at Wemby, and for some reason, even though you're up 29 at halftime, Wemby played the entire second half, I think. I mean, he played 44 minutes tonight. He's not in good enough shape to play 44 minutes. He does not have the stamina to do that. You could tell by the end of the game he was looking winded. He only shot 9 for 25. As he gets more tired, he seems to step. First half, I thought he was really dominant inside again. He had a couple of putbacks in the second half, but basically, I thought as he got more winded as the game went on, he drifted outside more and more. 2 for 8 from 3, which you want him shooting threes, if anything.
Let him.
And
absolutely.
You know, Wemby's not the type of player to play 44 minutes. And when you have a 29-point lead, a 27-point lead at halftime, how do you play in the entire second half? That's a terrible coaching job by the Spurs coach, Johnson.
Yeah, no, Johnson had a tough game. Again, I was stunned with the Harper move. Wemby did hit one, like, really tough contested 2 at the top of this with a hand in his face. I was like, oh, how did that go? Jesus, every time we're making a little run, these guys keep hitting the damn shot. I was losing my mind. Overall rebounding, Spurs kind of controlled the offensive glass early. The Knicks kind of gained on that, made it a little bit more respectable in that category. Listen, I mean, overall, this is the kind of game you dream of watching. You know, this is the kind of game you're going to remember where you were. This is the kind of game that you're just saying to yourself, just get it to within 10 and anything can happen. And then they get to 8. Then it gets to 5. Then it goes back up to 7. 5, then 7. Then they hit a 3 for a 4. That was the one that Alvarado hit. And all of a sudden, you're like, okay, we're down to 4. We'll get a stop. They get the stop. And all of a sudden, it's down to 2 and 1. And then all of a sudden, you know, they have a chance for the lead, and Hart misses it. And you're like, what the hell's going on here? And then all of a sudden, it comes back the other way. The Knicks have the lead. And the Spurs take the lead back. And then the Knicks get the tip in by Anunoby. It was it was like watching – I don't even know how to describe it. You're going through 1,000 emotions in like 30 seconds. It's just crazy.
And you like Brunson to be maybe a step or two closer to the line, but I like the idea of down 1 of getting that shot up quickly enough to give you the opportunity to have OG or somebody come in with a tip in. You know, the ball gets loose, or you maybe get a foul. You know, something happens when you shoot the ball when it's not the last play of the game.
Listen, I made that point when we talked about the final play with OKC. You remember? Get the ball out. Don't leave looking for that 3-pointer late. Just try to get the play off, man. Yep. Same kind of concept. But yeah, I mean, listen, Knicks now have a 3-1 lead. They are one win away from an NBA championship.
So, and the question is, guys, I mean, listen, I thought that I wrote long way to go. I was the one that kept texting in the group.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they were definitely going to win. I'm always going to be the glasses half full guy. I'm a jerk like that. But did you give them any shot?
No.
At any point?
No.
I thought that they could, but they kept missing every little milestone. Get to this point level at this minute. They couldn't do it. Then all of a sudden, they finally broke through. When it went from 15 to 12, it kind of changed the entire momentum. Then they were able to get to single digits, and all of a sudden, you're like, with 5 to go, they're in single digits down to 9, and you're like, okay.
That was key. Single digits with 5 left. That was so key.
Oh, my God. Amazing game.
Yep.
Amazing everything. Any final points, guys, before we wrap this up?
Listen, the only thing I'll tell you is watching the fans, I don't think the fans knew how to react.
No.
Okay. Especially the cameras were on a lot of the celebrities.
Oh, Taylor Swift. Yeah.
But they did not know how to react. I will tell you right now, they were as confused as we were.
But nobody left.
No. Absolutely not.
That arena was packed. The thing is, and I'll mention it too, Taylor Swift. No, she's not a Knicks fan.
No.
She's not someone that you see at the Garden. Nobody cares. Show me McEnroe. Honestly, show me Spike Lee. You know, yeah. Kev, you were saying it beforehand. Marissa Hardigay. I mean, Ben Stiller. Timothy Chalamet. I mean, show me the guys that go to these games.
Yeah. You know, I don't like Lee. I don't like Stewart. But guess what? They're there every freaking game.
Every there. They are there all the time.
I couldn't pick Timothy Chalamet out of a lineup, but there he is.
Yeah.
I hear his name every night.
McEnroe, Seinfeld, Larry David. These are New Yorkers. They go to their fair share of Knick games. They deserve to be there.
Tracy Morgan. Yep, absolutely. These guys that are at every game, that's what we want to see.
Yep.
Amazing. Just unreal. What's the word? If you had one word, Gino, what's the word to describe this game?
Unbelievable.
Kev?
I had unfreaking believable.
And astonishing. It was beyond anything I could have comprehended. I just completely astonished. I thought they'd make it a game. I didn't know that they could come back and win it all the way, but I thought that they would make it a game, and they did, and they did everything that they could to get out in front, even without some crucial players hitting shots. And that's the part that makes it so that much more interesting. It was really kind of Brunson and Ananobi, and Alvarado hit a big shot, and that was pretty much it, guys. Craziness.
Yep.
Final thoughts. Final words.
Let's go game five. I wish it was what's today? Wednesday. I wish it was Friday, not Saturday.
No. It takes them 2 days to travel. They're taking the Pony Express over to San Antonio. Gino,
one more win.
And they need to do this before the Spurs get really good.
One more win.
Go New York. Go New York. Go. That's where we're going to end this thing with.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to us. Anyone that was a Swiftie and that we offended, I'm sorry. She shouldn't have been there. Nobody cares about her. Final thoughts. Nothing. That's it. We're going to go with that. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. Darren, Kevin, Gino, talking about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of sports, a wacky world where we just witnessed the greatest comeback in NBA playoff history. Maybe the best comeback since that Christmas day when Ken the Animal Bannister leading the way. Please download the podcast anywhere you get a podcast, whether it be an Apple Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn, whatever you like. Listen, we're posting on social. Like our stuff. Share our stuff. Go New York. Go New York. Go. Sports Kings from Queens.